Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators. Also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. My daughter Emily right next to me right here. And folks, this is why I'm doing this program, because I care about my children and grandchildren, and I don't want to leave them in a tyranny. I don't want to leave them in a place that does not respect life. And unfortunately, since 1973 in America, our institutions have less and less respected the value of human life. You know, just last night we read in Family Devotions the words of Jesus when he said, "All those who hate me love death." And boy, does that characterize the day in which we live. As the death march continues in America, last year the Supreme Court upheld the Oregon-assisted suicide law. Yeah, it's okay for doctors to put, "We help kill you" on their business cards, I guess. Do they do that, Dave? They put down the brochure, they go on the website, "We help kill you." At least six other states have proposed or are considering some form of an assisted suicide law, with bills currently in the legislatures of California and Vermont. And, of course, Jack Kevorkian is soon to get out of prison. I don't know why he just didn't stay in Oregon, but he apparently wanted to do it elsewhere against the law. And folks, let me say this. Those who have killed 48 million of their children over the last 30 years are going to face euthanasia in the next 30 years. That's as obvious as the most transparent truism you could possibly come up with. Right, Dave? Those who have killed 48 million of their children since 1973 will face euthanasia themselves in the next 30 years. That's the irony. That's not funny, but it is the irony of human behavior. You kill your kids, they kill you.
The ones that you didn't kill. And it shouldn't be ironic at all, because the law is that you reap what you sow. And if you've sown death, guess what you get to reap?
And the way that we're going to get euthanasia, my friends, is through socialized medicine, which is now coming to a state near you. Massachusetts just got it. Mitt Romney signed it. And the same kind of bill is going all over the place. Republicans, Democrats, they're loving it. They're loving socialized medicine in just about every other state across the union. And that, my friends, is the only way that euthanasia will come. In fact, just last year, the trustees of the Social Security Medicare system estimated that the Social Security Trust Fund will be exhausted in 2040, while the Medicare Trust Fund will be depleted in 2018. That's only 11 years from now. 11 years away from bankruptcy in Medicare. And here's the deal. When you pull medical care away from the free market, you open it up for rationing. That's what you do. You subject it to the whims of politicians. And here's the deal. Now, in terms of politicians, Dave, you've got conservatives and liberals, all right? Conservatives will be motivated to vote for euthanasia because it will be the most prudent economic choice. Okay? The liberals will be motivated to vote for euthanasia because they've always been excited about pro-death causes like abortion and infanticide and a suicide and everything else they've done. So liberals will love it. Conservatives will love it. Euthanasia coming to a state near you. Ladies and gentlemen, you check your mother or father into a hospital in 2020, you'll have no idea whether they're going to hasten their death or not. That decision will be entirely in the hands of state bureaucrats. But let's ask the question today, should you ever pull the plug on dad? We're going to talk life and death questions today on Generations. Pulling the plug on Generations next.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.
Folks, one of the passions we have on this radio program is to see a Malachi 4 revival in the hearts of fathers and sons across America. I believe this is the catalyst to the restoration of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. And that's why we are sponsoring our fourth father-son retreat in Colorado on August 9th through the 12th this year. Again, that's August 9th through the 12th. And folks, we have selected the most inspiring, visionary speakers we can find for this father-son retreat. Doug Phillips, Richard Little Bear Wheeler, and Jeff Botkin will be there. And you will enjoy inspiring talks, father-son Olympics, hiking, swimming, sports, and most importantly, time away with your son in the Colorado mountains. The event takes place at one of the very best mountain resorts in Colorado, the Crooked Creek Ranch, nestled in a stunning mountain range near Fraser. Please register today at check.org on the web for this once-in-a-lifetime experience for you and your son. That's check.org on the web, CHEC.org, or call 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432 to be a part of the Father-Son Retreat.
Back on Generations, my friends, Kevin Swanson here with you today, talking about pulling the plug. Euthanasia, the questions of whether to remove palliative care, whether to remove extraordinary measures, when you are trying to gain the health and the life of some member of your family. Now, what we have brought up on this program introduces a lot of different questions. They're not easy questions at all. But certainly, we're talking about the issues of whether the family should be involved or the state should be involved. Whether you ought to choose death or life as a value for yourself and for your family. Whether you ought to encourage honor and love within a family or remand your family members over to state institutions. These are sort of the questions that are brought up by issues relating to pulling the plug. Well, the first point I think ought to be made is the biblical law that comes from the sixth commandment when God said, thou shalt not murder. That's the overarching principle we've got to establish as the principle under which we work. And yet, the word also says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So you do have multiple values in the Bible, and I think you ought to be careful not to ultimatize one principle or one law in the Bible to the exclusion of all the others. That's one mistake that people make when they take the principles of God's Word and try to apply it to real life. These aren't easy questions, and the answers aren't easy either. A couple of the principles that I like to bring to bear, though, on this particular issue includes these. First of all, you do not remove palliative care. You don't remove food and water. And I would include tube feeding under this category. You want to maintain palliative care for those that are ill and those that may be dying. You want to make sure that they have access to food and water. Now, as it turns out, that tube feeding is not all that expensive. Most commercial feeding would wind up being somewhere around $15 a day, which would be roughly $300 a month. For formula that a family can put together themselves, homemade recipes, can run somewhere around $150 a month. So this is not expensive to provide palliative care. You don't starve a patient to death. And that's precisely what happened with Terry Schiavo and little Dylan last year. It made it such a tragedy. And certainly the world wants to run down that particular road. They want to remove palliative care, but you don't do that. Now, what about extraordinary measures? Are you always required to engage extraordinary measures to keep Grandpa alive? Now, if I'm 80 years old and I've got a serious illness, I don't believe God requires me to spend my family's inheritance
to keep myself alive for an additional 6 months. If I worked my entire life, I pulled together $200,000, would sure like to leave that to my children and grandchildren. I don't think God requires me to spend that on myself. I can instruct my children not to give me any more than $500 a month in life support or $1,000 a month in life support. I can leave them with that instruction. I would trust that they would obey that instruction. They honor their father in that instruction. Sometimes people want to spend their inheritance today just to stay alive an extra 6 months or whatever it may be. But I don't think we're required to do this. The decision to start the medical care is critical because you don't want to unplug the plug after the fact. I think parents and family members need to count the cost. You need to ask yourself, are you able to fund this equipment to the tune of $50,000 a month indefinitely if necessary? Now, if you're worth $6 million and you're not leaving an inheritance, then you might go ahead and spend it all on yourself and start up the life support equipment and run the life support equipment indefinitely. Now, as you count the costs, you got to step back and say, okay, now how much money do we have for medical costs? Every family needs to consider this. You've got your insurance money. Now, you don't have the right to steal other people's money. Okay, so that's not an option. You guys say, well, we're not going to make the decision. If we ever have to make the decision, I'm getting a shotgun, and I'm going to go from house to house and collect money from everybody else. And you shouldn't use the government to steal other people's money to keep yourself or other people alive either. That's called stealing, and that's wrong. You're not to do that. But you should assess what you have, what your resources are, what resources you have available to keep yourself alive and your family members alive. Now, here's one more point I want to make. A younger family might be more likely to spend an inheritance to keep dad alive on life support if the doctor thought there was a pretty good odds that he could resuscitate, he could recover. So you might want to spend the entire inheritance, maybe even down to the mortgage. But Dave, as you know, these are family decisions, and it's a very individual decision. I don't think there ought to be anybody out there, a member of the state or a member of a church, a pastor of a church, stand up and say, well, everybody's got to do this, and you've got to spend your inheritance down to zero in every single case. This is a family decision here.
And it's a very complex decision. There are many, many principles that come to bear. Honoring parents, leaving an inheritance, honoring life, and yet as a Christian, especially if the person who is ill here is a believer, you know, we should not fear death. We know that what we sow, we're gonna sow our dead bodies in order to get resurrected, glorified bodies later. We need to weigh all of these things. It is not a simple decision. It certainly isn't one that should be based on societal economics, but rather on family economics.
It is interesting, Dave, that as a society moves further and further away from God and the hope of Christ and his resurrection, as a society learns not to fear God and keep his commandments, as is taught in practically every single school and university across America, the end result is a whole bunch of people who are afraid to die. And, of course, the amount of money that we spend in this country to avoid death and the amount of money we put into medical care is just exorbitant. It's incredible.
And, you know, we think about death far more than we think about eternal life. The movies, our entertainment has the undead or those who are dying and coming back. We really have very little about the eternal life, the resurrection of the world to come. But we have a whole lot about fearing leaving this world and crossing that river. And I think that weighs deeply on people. If we have no faith of an eternity, we don't want to see our loved ones go away as opposed to just letting them pass to the next world where we'll get to spend eternity with them.
And then the real irony here is that we're moving in the direction of socialized health care. So, again, we're spending more and more of the GNI on health care, and yet we want to move it into the government. And once we do that, you know what's going to happen? Just the opposite of whatever people want to happen, and that would be euthanasia.
Right. I think we're going to see a lot of people dying in the hospital, which is really like the worst place to die, in my opinion. It would be much better if people were to be around their loved ones, if death happened in the home amongst the loved ones. This was a passing to the next world. And I think we're going to see that the hospitals, if at first, will start allowing people to die. I think they'll be helping them along here a little bit. They'll be giving them a little push, a little boost. We're starting to see at least suspicious activity in that direction right now. And the dying with dignity that former Governor Lamb talked about, we'll be dying without any dignity. because there is no hope of the resurrection. There is no life for the world to come. There's just the state.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the point. A lot of people are concerned that there's no way to resolve the issue of how much money to spend for any certain person. Of course, if the state bureaucrats have that decision in their hands, which they will, you know, if they're the ones sitting in these beautiful offices, 36 stories above the hospitals, making decisions for everybody in those hospitals, you know what's going to happen, Dave. There are going to be an awful lot of people euthanized. Now, my guess is their friends and some of their family members may not receive the pill as earlier as others will. But here's the way you resolve it. Of course, not everybody can afford the most expensive doctor in the world. And, of course, the socialists constantly say that everybody deserves the highest quality of medical care, you know.
That's just pandering.
That's bogus, yeah. That's bogus. If everybody deserves the highest level of medical care, how is this doctor, there can only be one very best doctor in the entire country of America, how does this doctor have time to see everybody? Of course he doesn't have time to see everybody. So not everybody's going to be able to get the most expensive equipment, the most expensive doctor, the best possible medical care, just because that's the way it works. So either the bureaucracy is going to figure out who gets it, or nobody gets it, or a free market is going to drive who gets the best medical care. And Dave, typically the rich will get a little better medical care than the rest of us. That's just the way it works.
There's benefits to being rich.
Yeah.
It's the golden rule. And when the gold is controlled by the state, that is, we have a state-sponsored medical system, the state will have a system for deciding who gets to live and who doesn't. And the system will be, in its essence, who benefits the state the most. So if you have some benefit back to the state, well, go ahead and live. We'll go ahead and pay for the care. If you're really sort of a ward of the state, or we're not really happy with what you're doing, it's not really advancing the state agenda, well, guess what? You're the person who gets to go bye-bye.
Reminds me of the Animal Farm quote, all animals are equal. Some animals are a little more equal than others. And that's inevitably what happens in socialist countries. And, folks, that's exactly where you're headed in your country here as well. But, again, folks, the free market is going to drive it if we live in a free market. And if you don't have the money for life-sustaining equipment, then what do? Here are your options. Your first option is negotiate for a lower price with the hospital. Sometimes a hospital will say, okay, you know, we won't do it for $100,000. We could do it for $40,000. You could also request charity from your church or your friends. But the point is, you've got to be ready to make your decisions. Call together your family and tell them what your wishes are concerning your own savings, your own insurance plans, your own life insurance plans, and so forth. What are your expectations for these things? And if your expectation is to spend down the mortgage and to spend all the inheritance and spend all the insurance to the tune of $100,000 a month in life-sustaining equipment and process, then go ahead and communicate that to your children. But at the same time, Dave, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I want to save an inheritance for my children's children. So let's say that our family has set aside $5,000 for a medical issue, and we can't afford life-sustaining equipment for $20,000 a month, an operation at a price tag of $100,000 a month, and drug treatments at $50,000 a month. And here I am, here's Dad, he's sick, he's nigh unto death, he's 78 years old. A couple of things. The first thing I'm going to tell my children is they never kill Dad. Okay? You don't kill me. Why? Well, I don't want my children to kill me for a lot of reasons, but I think the most important reason is God said, don't kill Dad. Thou shalt not murder. So that's never an option. It's never an option to kill Dad. But they can take Dad home and try other options. Again, these decisions are in the jurisdiction of the family. I know that the state can't stand that. That the family has the right to make a decision, but I'm telling you, it does. The family has the right to make the decision. They're not supposed to kill Dad, but they could try certain alternative treatments and dietary approaches. It's completely legitimate to try certain things. Again, not to kill Dad, but to try to heal Dad. That's the point. Now, of course, the government puts people in prison if the treatments aren't certified by their witch doctors. Well, we know that. We know that government doesn't like certain alternative treatments because their particular AMA-certified witch doctors haven't certified the treatment. But the point is, the family has the right to try certain alternative treatments, some of which may not be as expensive as the government's system. Now, the other approach is to pray over Dad. Now, Dave, you know, a lot of people are going to laugh at this. They're going to say, pray over dad, beg the Lord for more years of life with dad. Yeah, pray over dad. That's an approach. That's not killing dad. That's bringing home and praying that God will give him more life. I believe that's a viable option, but make him comfortable. Be there with him, pray over him, read the Word of God to him, encourage him to take some water and some chicken noodle soup and pray. That's an option. Now, the point is here, the family gets to make the choice. And if government begins to regulate these choices, I call that another exhibition of pure tyranny. And I know the government loves to control these decisions. They want to force us to bring our parents into the hospital so they can heal them or even euthanize them or do whatever they want to do to them. That's what the government wants to do. But that's not a Christian approach. The Bible places it in the hands of the family. Now, if dad is in pain, what do? Dad's in pain. You can relieve it by means of morphine. The Bible says strong drink for the dying. I think it's Proverbs chapter 30. That's completely legitimate. Yeah, give him some strong drink. Give him some pain relief. It's absolutely appropriate.
Jack Daniels and an IV.
Okay. Whatever's available. But folks, the other worldview wants the political power to bring euthanasia and assisted suicide with a vengeance. Socialized medicine is coming to a town near you. What do? Well, the first thing we do is we, as a Christian community, begin to impose on the family to make these jurisdictional decisions. And secondly, we've got to oppose the socialized medicine system. And Dave, I hate to say it, but it includes Medicare. We've got to move more and more away from Medicare. And one way to do this is to start bringing back a biblical approach like Samaritan Healthcare Ministry. They advertise with this program, and they do so for a reason. I believe in this particular product. They're keeping families out of the socialized system by bringing this biblical system to bear. And it's a terrific way to wean ourselves away from the socialized system and bring it back under the body of Christ, the local, voluntary, charitable system called the Church of Christ. And with socialized medicine coming down the pike, folks, we're going to have to defend an island of freedom for this biblical system. You know that the states are going to start imposing on us that we have a special medical insurance program that effectively has been approved by the state and has some socialized components to it. So we've got to defend an island of freedom, just like the island of freedom for parental rights and homeschooling and education. We've got to defend an island of freedom away from the socialist healthcare system that's coming down the pike to destroy our values, our morals, and our freedoms. And here's the other point. The church needs to start right now to build the diaconate. What I mean by that, caring of widows and orphans. We need to start right now. Doctors should start volunteering time to their church diaconate program. I say right now. We need to bring the medical industry back under the church in some way or another. Historically, the tithe monies were distributed 33%, a third to widows and orphans, a third to the pastor, a third to administration. That's the way it used to be. Now maybe 2%. Maybe 2%. Ladies and gentlemen, unless we revive the diaconate, unless we bring the medical care back under the church, unless the church begins to really put some serious funding into helping widows and orphans, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to have a socialized system on our hands with lots and lots of euthanasia coming. And here's the other thing. Have lots of children. Your children can take care of you in your old age. Please don't remand yourself to the government, to the cruel-hearted mercies of the King Ahabs and the Queen Jezebels of the world. Governments like fire, a cruel master and a tyrannical servant. That's what George Washington said. Ladies and gentlemen, rebuild the family, rebuild the church. That's the solution. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with my program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. And I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.